to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I've got a great interview with Elizabeth Spann Craig all about writing mysteries, which is a massively popular genre, and she is a cozy mystery author. So we talk all about that and about tips for writing mysteries. So we'll be on to that interview shortly. Just a quick update for you in the meantime. In the last week, I have uploaded my book files to lightningsource.com, so that's pretty fantastic, and I've ordered my review copy, which I have to sign off before they distribute it to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and that lot. So that is happening. My ebook is being transformed into the Kindle format, etc. So that's exciting. I will also be posting launch details imminently. So you're going to see all of that about the launch of Pentecost, a competition. So please go and have a look at that because I'd love you to join in. As I've said before, I need people to read the book and review it on Kindle or Goodreads. Or also, I'm available to come on established blogs and do interviews or do video or whatever you fancy. The launch will be 7th of February for the Kindle version. The print book might come a bit later. But anyway, I guess the point is that the launch progresses. And yes, I'll be running a competition as well. And then after everything, I will be posting a massive post on what I did to promote the book. So even if you're not interested in the thriller itself, you'll be able to wait for that and use the techniques on your own book. So that's good. Secondly, I did a book trailer for Pentecost, which is quite dramatic and over the top. It was meant to be. So if you watch it and go, goodness me, that's a little bit over the top, you'll know why. It's meant to be like a thriller movie with sort of dramatic noise and images. So you can have a look at that on YouTube, or it's also on the blog under how to do a book trailer. So I also tell you how to make a book trailer if you're interested in doing one yourself. So have a look at that post as well. Thirdly, I have started another blog. I'm clearly completely nuts because I have enough on my plate with the day job and also writing the next in the series, which is Prophecy after Pentecost, and also my normal blog and the podcast and all of that. But I wanted to start a book review blog because the Creative Pen is more for writers and it spans all kinds of genres and book marketing and that type of thing. So I wanted to create a blog for readers of mystery and thriller genre, which is what I mainly read. I read lots of other things too, but that's where my books will sit too. So from a marketing perspective, it's quite a good idea. And the aim will be to be actively reading books more from my own perspective so I can learn about writing, which was one of my New Year's resolutions this year. So you can go and check out mysterythriller.tv. It's a video blog primarily, although I will be accepting posts from other people, text posts or video posts. So if you are a fan of mysteries and thrillers, you're welcome to submit a text or video post. All the details are on the website. So that's mysterythriller.tv. So exciting times. I hope you are having a good first few weeks of the year. And let's get on with the interview. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Elizabeth Spann Craig. Elizabeth is the author of three mystery novels. Her latest, Delicious and Suspicious, came out under the pen name Riley Adams with Barclay Prime Crime. Elizabeth is also a blogger and very active on Twitter with her useful links for writers. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Well, thanks so much for having me today, Joanna. I really appreciate it. And I was like, you've just been such a tremendous resource for writers that I'm happy to be part of it today.
Oh, thank you so much. So maybe you can start by telling us a bit more about you and your writing journey.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. For me, it was all about the books. And like most writers, I think I started out very early as a reader, and my parents were really enthusiastic that I read. My father's an English teacher, so he was always handing me things to read, whether I wanted to or not, actually. I would get short stories like The Lady or the Tiger, and I was maybe in second grade. I mean, maybe that's not appropriate reading, I'm not sure. But it was great. I mean, it was a household that really fostered reading, loved it. And I always said I wanted to be a writer. And I'm sure people, the adults, were kind of snickering just a little bit because that's really not a very lucrative field to go into. But I couldn't think of anything else really that I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to try to make books that I love to read so much. So that's how I got started. I always said I was going to be a writer, and then I decided when I got a little older, maybe I should look into something a little bit more lucrative. So I looked into journalism and advertising a bit. Got an internship when I was in college, and decided to work for a magazine for a while. So I wrote stories for magazines. Got married, wrote stories for magazines. I was always on assignment, though, and so I wasn't very excited about, you know, doing that. I wanted to be creative with it. So it was, you know, I thought, I'm going to write a book, though. That's what I really want to do. I want to be, you know, a creative person and not always have to write about interior decorating and houses and things like that.
Yeah.
So I did, but I looked for the perfect time to write a book. And I had a baby, and I thought, well, this definitely is not the perfect time to write a book, because he was just a disaster. He was throwing Cheerios on the floor all the time. But then after baby number two, I thought, you know what? I don't think there is going to be the perfect time to write a book.
Yeah.
And I just go, you can write a book in just a page a day. And so that's basically what I did. I wrote a book just during Teletubbies or Sesame Street, a page a day.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love that, because so many people, you know, want to do that and they think they don't have the time, and, you know, that's exactly what you've basically done. And how did you then come to get, you know, get a publisher and get your mystery novels out there?
That was something I decided to start really small. I started with an agent search first, and I did not get very far with that at the beginning. I found it very difficult going, and I amassed a large number of rejections. Actually, I've got still, I think, a few of them. I must have gotten, I'm going to say maybe 75 or 100 rejections from agents.
Yeah.
So I decided maybe I should shoot for, you know, a publisher and just start small. I didn't start out going to Berkeley or anything like that. Mm. I decided to go to a small regional publisher. So I did, got my feet wet. That was wonderful to work with. Tried the agent search again, still didn't really work out. So I submitted directly to Midnight Inc., which is a mid-sized mystery publisher that's well-respected, and got accepted. So that was fantastic. It actually out of the slush pile.
Wow.
And then it's one of those unbelievable stories. And that same manuscript, Pretty As This Pretty Dies, I also submitted to Penguin. And I submitted it to an editor. I was so careful, and I looked the editor up and sent it to an editor who left, I think, just immediately after my letter arrived at her desk. So it not only went into the slush pile at Penguin, it went into somebody else's slush pile, so who got all of that editor's slush pile letters, not even her own. And eventually, though, it ended up to my current editor's desk, and she said, she sent me an email, I would have loved to have had Pretty As This Pretty Dies for Penguin. And of course, I thought, oh, wow, that's fantastic, but I've already sold it. You know, I'm so sorry. Maybe I can come up with another idea for y'all. And so we ended up with the Memphis Barbecue series. So that ended up working out really well. So actually, that one manuscript went through the slush pile and ended up with a publisher at two different publishers, but with different books.
Wow, that is a great story. So I'm particularly interested, when I was looking at your bio and your books and everything, was that you seem to be in this cozy mystery genre. Now, which was really interesting to me, because, you know, most people read the hardcore crime fiction. Maybe you could just explain what the difference is and what type of thing you're writing.
Sure, I'd be happy to. A cozy mystery is basically, it focuses on an amateur sleuth. And it focuses a lot also on the puzzle part of the mystery. So actually figuring out the crime. There's not forensics. You're not going to find a gory crime scene. The actual murder happens off stage. So there's not a lot of language. There's not a lot of overt violence. The focus is definitely on, I was going to say, a small town. And it used to be that traditional mysteries or cozies were set in small towns, although now actually the big cities are getting a lot of attention for a setting for the mysteries as well. But a limited number of suspects, defects and everything ends up nice and always solved. But the sleuth is somebody that you would want to hang out with and just solve the mystery along with. And that's what a cozy is all about figuring out the puzzle.
I like that because you get a bit sick of these really graphic, you know, violent killings and then all the body parts and everything, you know. So you have this lovely, there's a lovely atmosphere, I think, around your books, which is refreshing. So, you know, why did you choose to write mystery specifically? Do you love the genre?
I do. I just love mysteries. I've always been a huge mystery reader. For me, it's because I'm actually figuring out the novel along with the sleuth. I'm figuring out who did it. So it's almost interactive experience for me. I really feel like I'm part of the book. I'm right there. I'm the sleuth sidekick. I'm figuring it out along with them. Also, I think there's kind of almost an epic feel to it. It's good versus evil. It always has a happy ending, or at least most of the time. Most mysteries are going to be tied up pretty neatly. And I'm a pretty type A person, actually, so seeing all the loose ends tied up is just very satisfying to me. It's just a very tidy process.
Yeah, no, I was reading a mystery lately, and I was really amazed at how the clues all get set up and, you know, all work together. Do you have to work really a lot backwards, I guess, you know, work the clues back into the earlier part and do lots of multiple drafts? Is that the process?
It is for me. I think the clues are the hardest part for me for a mystery, and the red herrings. And so basically what I'm trying to do is come up with a whole bunch of possible clues for the end of the story. Also, I'm one of those people who makes it up as I go along, so I don't work from an outline usually unless I'm asked to by an editor. And so for me, I don't even know who the killer is until the end of the book, until I've written it. I make sure that all of the suspects could equally have done it. And that makes it more fun for the reader, too. And so I really don't even know what the red herrings are or the clues are until after the book is over with and the killer's been decided. But you're right, it is kind of a process. You have to go back and make sure the clues are in the right place. And also, you have to be very careful, I think, to hide the clues well so that you're pointing them out to the reader and being fair, but making sure that it's not like a neon sign saying, who's the clue?
Yeah.
You want it to be able to be a puzzle still.
Yeah, no, that's great. So is it harder now with mystery because of there's so much on TV? I mean, it's a lot of forensics, I guess, on TV, but people are so used to these type of genres in a visual format. Are people more, not intelligent, but do they get it quicker? Do you have to make it harder these days?
I think that these days it's true that the readers are very savvy. I think that they are fully expecting to partner with the sleuth in the book. That's their whole idea. They're going to go in and they want to solve it alongside. So if you give away who the killer is at the first part of the book, you just killed it for the reader. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to be very careful to make sure that you are playing fair, but you are concealing the clues. But basically, it is still the same skill set that Agatha Christie would have had when she wrote her books. She just wanted to write a very clean mystery with strong characters, but to make sure that the reader could follow along as well. So it's still kind of the same, but you're right. I mean, especially I think for someone writing thrillers, they have to be so careful with the forensic side of it and make sure their research is just so good and so complete, because half the time, I think the readers know more than the mystery writers, unless they've really done their research. Yeah. They're watching CSI and they're watching Law and Order and all those shows. And I think it's pretty accurate depiction from what I've been able to tell of forensics and police procedure, too.
Mm. No, fantastic. So for writers that are considering writing mystery, what are your tips for doing that?
I would say start off, first of all, with a great top-notch sleuth, somebody that just leaps off the page. I don't really like sleuths that are too perfect. That just kind of annoys me because I'm flawed, and I like to see other people that are flawed too. So I like to see sleuths that have a little depth or dimension to them and make mistakes, but aren't making too many mistakes. They need to be gifted amateurs if you're writing a cozy mystery and make sure that they're able to solve the mystery. Also, I like the secondary characters to be strong and distinctive from each other. I think that's important. I'm a fan of sidekicks. I love Watson, and I just love Captain Hastings for Agatha Christie's books. I think it's important for a sleuth to have someone to use as a sounding board. So that way there's not these long internal monologues that the sleuth is having, which tend to get kind of boring. I'm a big fan of dialogue, So if you've got a sidekick, then you've got a sleuth who can bounce ideas off the sidekick instead of having these long, I wonder who did it discussions with himself, you know, and the pros and cons of each person who would have done it. Also, I would say make sure that the red herrings are in the plot. In other words, the little distractions. So the reader thinks, oh, this person might have done it for this reason. But don't take the red herrings so far out that it gets frustrating for the reader. Like you go half the book out with this false lead and then you find out it fizzles out. And that's, you know, that's a little disappointing and frustrating for a reader. So have the red herrings, but don't have them just go to extremes. And definitely a book, like I mentioned before, should play fair with the reader. And they should have all the clues up front. There's no way a mystery could be published these days with, like, the evil twin who shows up at the end of the book, or, you know, a character who is the murderer who got introduced the last third of the book. It needs to be really fair with the reader.
No, those are good. And how about setting? Is setting really important, particularly in yours? You said it's set in this, you know, specific town. Does the setting itself play, you know, have clues or, you know, give atmosphere, I guess?
The setting can be very important, especially with cozy mysteries. There's frequently, with a small town setting, you get a feeling of isolation a little bit. So that helps with, you know, limiting, obviously, the number of suspects, which is another important thing to consider when you're writing a mystery novel. You don't want to have too many suspects, and you don't want to have too few. You want it to have the element of surprise in there, but you don't want to have so many suspects that you wonder who the person is at the end of the book who killed it. But I would say definitely setting also with thrillers, I love to see a big town or a huge city setting for a thriller. Kind of adds to the fast-paced environment, ticking clock with a thriller. So the setting can be important, especially depending on which genre of mystery that you're focusing on.
And what about the place for, you know, originality in mysteries when... I guess, you know, the genre has very specific rules. You know, you mentioned a few there. But, you know, how original do you have to be versus how much do you have to keep to the rules?
That's very tricky. I definitely keep to the rules quite a bit. I am a fairly new to writing. I do have several series now, but I still feel like I'm a newbie as a writer, and I don't want to really push the boundaries too much. I have known some writers who have done that and chosen to do that, and sometimes they lose a few readers in the process and they gain some that they didn't have before. But it's such a tricky balance, and I'm such a conservative person that for me, I was like, I'm not going to risk alienating anybody. I'm going to kind of follow the rules, definitely of the cozy genre, and I don't think my editors would let me get away with it. But originality, that's a tough one. I mean, you've got something like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, fantastic idea, very original. Now you've got a lot of copycats going on out there, but you put on a formula that works really well and was really popular, and so those books were doing well too. So there's something to be said for the fact that, I mean, people are like, oh, there's so many vampire books out there right now. But people want vampire books right now, so they're selling super well. So I think an eye to the market, some originality, probably originality in character is almost more important than plot. That's just my opinion. But then also an eye to the rules to a certain degree, just because you want the book to actually make it to the shelves.
Okay, so we know that authors these days have to do more than just write. They also have to do marketing and lots of things like that. And I met you on Twitter, and you have a great strategy, which I also use myself. So maybe you could explain that strategy for everyone.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. I don't know if it was a strategy that I came up with, you know, actually thinking about it, but I think it was one I more fell into, of tweeting writing links to help other writers to kind of connect them with other resources. It's kind of hard to do that sometimes when you try to Google for information on writing, you know, different writing-related topics. You can come up with some really weird links. So I try to just add a whole bunch of writing blogs to my Google Reader. I have about 1,500 blogs in there right now. I spend about an hour a day combing through them, trying to find craft-related and publishing industry news-related links that I think other writers might be interested in reading. And then I schedule them with a third-party application. I use Social Oomph to schedule the tweets out throughout the day, so that way I don't have to be on Twitter all day long, which would be really bad for me and my deadlines. And I slip in some promotional links in that time, but I try not to do a whole lot of that and just have it kind of be subtle. I'm not a big fan of kind of hitting people over the head with promo. It's hard to quantify, I think, social media and what works, except I know that my pre-orders were really strong this past summer for Delicious and Suspicious, and I think it was Twitter.
Wow.
That was, yeah, I can't think of anything else that I did. Of course, I had my own blog and was focusing on it there, but really it seemed like it was Twitter. I was getting DMs and at messages from people. Oh, thanks, you know, I ordered your book or whatever. It was just really nice and just so encouraging and sweet for people to have done that. But it was a great way for me to say, okay, this does seem to actually be working. I'm getting orders on the books and the selling went really well.
But you said then you spend like an hour a day on Twitter. Now people are going to be sitting there going, seriously, like an hour a day? Is it really worth it? So have you got other benefits from Twitter, you think?
I definitely have. I mean, not only am I sharing these things, but obviously I'm getting all this information. I've found some fantastic blogs online with some great information that I use. I mean, I feel like I'm always learning new things about the industry, about the craft, and I'm just growing every day the more I read them. So I've got that. I've also developed relationships on Twitter. Although if you look at my Twitter profile page, I'm not responding on that page. I keep that page kind of clean for the links. But I DM everybody back. If anybody sends me an at message or a direct message, then I'm definitely going to DM them back. So I feel like I've got a dialogue going with my followers. It's just a little bit different. It's not a public dialogue. It's all kind of behind the scenes. But I've really enjoyed that and getting to know people on Twitter. It's been really important for me too. And I mean, obviously there is the branding side of it. As you mentioned, we have to do so much marketing these days. So I feel like it's helped to kind of set me apart. I mean, there's so many published writers out there, and there's just more and more every month. Even the big name publisher, there's just a ton of people out there. And to try to be a little voice out there saying, you know, here I am, I think Twitter helps with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But given the amount of time you're spending on that, do you use any other form of marketing? I mean, you do blog. I've been on your blog. But are you doing anything else? Facebook or?
Yes, I do Facebook. I have a Riley Adams Facebook page, which I don't keep as updated probably as I should. I have under my own name, Elizabeth Van Craig author page. I do marketing in town. I do some conferences. I'm a mom, so it's a little harder for me to get away. I had a book tour this past summer with four other authors, and that went really well. It was fun. I got to share expenses with each other by doing it on the road together, which was really nice. And we had a great turnout for the bookstore events we did. But I'll admit my favorite is social media because I am an introvert and it's hard to get me out of the house. So I had to have these authors come to me and say, Elizabeth, we would like for you to go along with us on our book tour for me to do it because it's just tough for me. I'll do panels and I'll go to bookstores, but usually when I sit at the Barnes & Noble by myself, you know, people come up and ask me where the restroom is or where the history section is. I mean, I just don't think they think I'm an author at all. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's hard to target people when you're sitting at a bookstore, but when you're online, you can really find a niche there, and you can target that niche, and it's so much better, I think, than just, you know, sitting in the big bookstore and feeling sad.
Oh, no, I think that's a really good point, and I feel that too, and, you know, obviously I'm in Australia, and everything's miles apart, and we hardly have any towns compared to America, you know, I mean, we just don't have the population, so there's almost no point in marketing physically in person, because the market globally is so big, so as you said, you might as well do it online, so I love that, that's fantastic. Did you, sorry, when you actually went on book tour versus the time you spend on Twitter, you know, will you ever go on book tour again?
Oh, I have a feeling my publishers are listening to this now. I will, but it will probably be not every time. I have a book coming out in June, and then I have one coming out in November of this year. And I was like, I just can't see. I mean, the children, I felt so sad. I was like, oh, you know, not my husband's a great dad. You know, it's just a little different. The time away, the expense. Honestly, the stress, I mean, as much as I love the other writers that I was with, and I do, it's just stressful for me to be away from home and to be meeting the public that way on a day-to-day basis is a little tough. So I will definitely do a book tour again, but I would probably do it maybe next year. Maybe not 2011, but 2012, I'd do it then.
Yeah. No, and there's all those benefits of marketing online, as you've said there. So that's fantastic. So what's coming up for you? What's going on? What's your next book coming out? And where can people find you online?
Yes, I have Finger Lickin' Dead is the next book in the Memphis Barbecue series under my name, Riley Adams, and that is coming out June 7th. The third book in the Memphis Barbecue series is going to be coming out in November. It's as yet a name. We're working on a name for that. I'm on Twitter, Elizabeth S. Craig, and I've got a blog, Mystery Writing is Murder, at blogspot.com. And I have a new series coming along too. I'm not quite ready to talk about it yet, but I'm excited about it. It's a 3-book series with Penguin Books.
Wow, lots happening in your world.
There's a lot going on.
There is. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Elizabeth. That was great.
Thank you so much, Joanne. I really appreciate your getting in contact with me and having this wonderful interview. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!